and gentlemen, good morning, good morning, good morning. Doesn't that feel great to say with a big smile on your face? What a wonderful day to be alive. It is June 14th, 2012. We are Think and Grow Rich, ladies and gentlemen. We come on this call each morning as entrepreneurs scattered all throughout the United States of America, and I'm sure we'll have entrepreneurs scattered throughout the world before here too long, but we come to this call on a daily basis, Monday through Friday. Why? Because we understand the recipe. We understand the formula, and that is mindset plus skill set plus performance. Mindset plus skill set plus accountability times performance equals results. And do you know who we are? We are results-oriented people. We want results in our lives. We get results in our lives because we understand the formula. And the first part of that formula is mindset, having your mind in the right space where you can go and do and have and become and attract and design the lifestyle that you want to have. Mindset is the foundation. And if we know that mindset is the foundation, why on earth would we not be on a call like this Monday through Friday, every work day, dialing in live, or at least, at the very least, dialing into the replay? If we know that mindset is where it starts, why would we not take advantage of this call? Ladies and gentlemen, that's why I'm on the call, because I understand that mindset is where it starts. That's why you're on the call, because you understand that mindset is where it starts. And if you can get your mind in the right spot, and you can start to learn and understand the skills that are necessary to make your business successful, and if you can be accountable to somebody, and if you can perform consistently and plow through temporary setback, there is no stopping where you and I can go together. So for that, my friends, I am excited, and I want to welcome you to the call. This is Paul Hutchings dialing in from Southeast Idaho, and today we're jumping into Chapter 7 of the book Think and Grow Rich, which is entitled Organized Planning, the Crystallization of Desire into Action. Key part of this philosophy. So here we go, the sixth step toward riches. You have learned that everything man creates or acquires begins in the form of desire, that desire is taken on the first lap of its journey from the abstract to the concrete, into the workshop of the imagination, where plans for its transition are created and organized. In Chapter 2, you were instructed to take six definite practical steps as your first move in translating the desire for money into its monetary equivalent. One of these steps is the formation of a definite practical plan or plans through which this transformation may be made. You will now be instructed how to build plans which will be practical via A. Ally yourself with a group of as many people as you may need for the creation and carrying out of your plan or plans for the accumulation of money making use of the mastermind principle described in a later chapter. Compliance with this instruction is absolutely essential. Do not neglect it. B. Before forming your mastermind alliance, decide what advantages and benefits you may offer the individual members of your group in return for their cooperation. No one will work indefinitely without some form of compensation. No intelligent person will either request or expect another to work without adequate compensation, although this may not always be in the form of money. C. Arrange to meet with the members of your mastermind group at least twice a week, and more often if possible, until you have jointly perfected the necessary plan or plans for the accumulation of money. Maintain perfect harmony between yourself and every member of your mastermind group. If you fail to carry out this instruction to the letter, you may expect to meet with failure. The mastermind principle cannot obtain where perfect harmony does not prevail. Keep in mind these facts. First, You are engaged in an undertaking of major importance to you. To be sure of success, you must have plans which are faultless. I'm going to read that one more time. You are engaged in an undertaking of major importance to you. To be sure of success, you must have plans which are faultless. You must have plans which are faultless. Second, you must have the advantage of the experience, education, native ability, and imagination of other minds. This is in harmony with the methods followed by every person who has accumulated a great fortune. No individual has sufficient experience, education, native ability, and knowledge to ensure the accumulation of a great fortune without the cooperation of other people. I'm going to read that again. No individual has sufficient experience, education, native ability, and knowledge to ensure the accumulation of a great fortune without the cooperation of other people. You know, I watched a training the other day that said the mind that says I can do it all by myself and I will do it all by myself is a broke mentality mindset. Keep that in mind. Every plan you adopt in your endeavor to accumulate wealth should be the joint creation of yourself and every other member of your mastermind group. You may originate your own plans, either in whole or in part, but see that those plans are checked and approved by the members of your mastermind alliance. If the first plan which you adopt does not work successfully, replace it with a new plan. If this new plan fails to work, replace it in turn with still another, and so on, until you find a plan which does work. Right here is the point at which the majority of men meet with failure, because of their lack of persistence in creating new plans to take the place of those which failed. The most intelligent man living cannot succeed in accumulating money, nor in any other undertaking, without plans which are practical and workable. Just keep this fact in mind, and remember when your plans fail, that temporary defeat is not permanent failure. It may only mean that your plans have not been sound. Build other plans. Start all over again. Thomas A. Edison failed 10,000 times before he perfected the incandescent electric light bulb. That is, he met with temporary defeat 10,000 times before his efforts were crowned with success. Temporary defeat should mean only one thing, the certain knowledge that there is something wrong with your plan. Millions of men go through life in misery and poverty because they lack a sound plan through which to accumulate a fortune. Henry Ford accumulated a fortune not because of his superior mind, but because he adopted and followed a plan which proved to be sound. 1,000 men could be pointed out, each with a better education than Ford's, yet each of whom lives in poverty because he does not possess the right plan for the accumulation of money. Your achievement can be no greater than your plans are sound. That may seem to be an axiomatic statement, but it is true. Samuel Insull lost his fortune of over $100 million. The Insull fortune was built upon plans which were sound. The business depression forced Mr. Insull to change his plans, and the change brought temporary defeat because his new plans were not sound. Mr. Insull is now an old man. He may, consequently, accept failure instead of temporary defeat, but if his experience turns out to be failure, it will be for the reason that he lacks the fire of persistence to rebuild his plans. No man is ever whipped until he quits in his own mind. This fact will be repeated many times because it is so easy to take the count at the first sign of defeat. James J. Hill met with temporary defeat when he first endeavored to raise the necessary capital to build a railroad from east to the west, but he too turned defeat into victory through new plans. Henry Ford met with temporary defeat not only at the beginning of his automobile career, but after he had gone far toward the top. He created new plans and went marching on to financial victory. We see men who have accumulated great fortunes, but we often recognize only their triumph, overlooking the temporary defeats which they had to surmount before arriving. No follower of this philosophy can reasonably expect to accumulate a fortune without experiencing temporary defeat. No follower of this philosophy can reasonably expect to accumulate a fortune without experiencing temporary defeat. You know, if you're moving forward in your plan and you're expecting no rejection, if you're expecting no challenges, if you're expecting no trials, that's called being naive about the realities of life and business and success. When defeat comes, accept it as a signal that your plans are not sound. Rebuild those plans and set sail once more toward your coveted goal. If you give up before your goal has been reached, you are a quitter. A quitter never wins, and a winner never quits. Lift this sentence out, write it on a piece of paper in letters an inch high, and place it where you will see it every night before you go to sleep and every morning before you go to work. When you begin to select members for your mastermind group, endeavor to select those who do not take defeat seriously. Some people foolishly believe that only money can make money. This is not true. Desire, transmuted into its monetary equivalent through the principles laid down here, is the agency through which money is made. Money of itself is nothing but inert matter. It cannot move, think, or talk, but it can hear when a man who desires it calls it to come. I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines for the discussion. Excited to hear your thoughts about the topic of today. Star 6 to unmute your line.
Hey, Paul.
Good morning, Melvin.
I just want to say that one of the things I think we've missed the boat on quite often is the fact that failure is part of success, and if you're not willing to fail, you're not going to succeed. And I cannot begin to tell you the amount of times that I have failed in order to succeed. And if you don't able to accept failure, if you're not able to know that it's part of the winning, you're not going to win. And because so many of us are afraid to fail, we never do anything, and we never go anywhere. We never accomplish or achieve anything, because we don't know that that is part of the formula. So whether it comes to shooting baskets or if you're shooting an arrow at a target, you're going to find that you're going to be missing a lot more than you're hitting. And it's a gradual process to start getting on the track of winning, to master that whole technique. So I just wanted to throw that out there to you. Thank you,
Great
Paul.
Points, and appreciate your experience, Melvin, and sharing that with us. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Lindy.
Good morning, Lindy.
One of the things that comes to mind is something that I heard a long time ago, and I'm sure a lot of people on this call have heard it too. But the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different end result. And while we're out there trying new things, we know that sometimes we're going to learn what not to do, and then we can make a better plan and do it different the next time. And before you know it, when you keep doing that process, you're formulating a towards your goal, and the failures are not failures. They're stepping stones. So that's something that brought to my mind. So I'd like to hear what everybody else thinks about this subject. Back to you, Paul.
Excellent points, Lindy. You know, and just a real-life example of a temporary setback. Last night, before I went to bed, I placed my Craigslist ad because I'm in phase two of my marketing, which is cold market. And this morning when I woke up, I saw a little nice message from Craigslist that says, flagged and removed. Please be sure to comply with posting guidelines on Craigslist. Yeah, that's temporary setback. All right, I'm excited to learn why that happened and keep moving forward on my plans.
dead. That's cold.
Star 6 to unmute your line. Do you have a written plan?
Sandy.
Oh, hey, Sandy. Good morning.
How are you?
I am excellent. How are you?
I am fabulous. I just wanted to share a little bit. I was just reading something that said, failure is a detour, not a dead end. And so if we look at failures as dead ends, we never learn anything from the failures. And so it's a mindset. It's a matter of looking at whatever has happened that may be seen as a failure or a negative and thinking the complete opposite of what that is. So when we have a negative thought, if we think immediately and train our minds to think just the opposite of what it is, our minds will think in a positive light and go that direction immediately when something negative happens or a failure happens. Not that something major might not happen in life that may affect you and make you sad or upset, but trying to think the opposite of it. I'm talking about little things in life that you have no control over, just little everyday things that could be a negative and could be upsetting. And so I just want to share that, you know, something can happen that can affect your business or your life, but thinking the opposite of that and just trying to look at the positive things instead of looking at, oh, why me, changes the mindset eventually. You don't want to hear any of the negative stuff. You don't want to hear people mention anything negative about your life or your business. It's like grating to the soul when you start thinking positively. You just don't want to hear it. You want to separate yourself from those people. I can remember hearing our pastor in church one week say that that if you were people around you who were bringing you down, to separate yourself from those people, if they're not uplifting, to separate yourself from them. And it's like that in our everyday life with business and everything else. You want to separate yourself from those people who are continually pulling you down. And with that, back to you, Paul.
Great thought, Sandy. You're an amazing leader, and I want to thank you for being a close member of my Inner Circle Mastermind team and group, and is so grateful for your feedback and input on the plans that we're formulating together as a mastermind group. Really appreciate you, Sandy. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Todd Young.
Good morning, Todd. Go ahead, and then Lady's Voice after that. Todd, you there?
I am. Paul, why don't we let the lady go first, and I'll go afterwards.
Okay, great idea.
Okay, the lady is back.
I was on there too, Anita. Go ahead, Pat.
Okay, hey guys, this is Kak. I'm from Jensen Beach, but right now I'm in Memphis. And I've been sitting here listening to all this talk about failure and not saying anything, because this is really the first time I've spoken up. And what my question is, why are we using the word failure? For me, failure is just so negative. And one of the things that my husband and I have learned is that you can't have a breakthrough until you have a breakdown. And what that means is, all that means is there's just something missing in the system. When you have a breakdown, it's a beautiful way of showing what's missing in my system. So for me, instead of calling something a failure, isn't that just the universe's way of saying, what's missing? What didn't I do? What can I do better? So that's just, for me, a way of interpreting the word failure, because I just don't like that word. I think it resonates in the subconscious, and it stays there. So that's my 2 cents, and I'm sticking to it. Thank you.
I love your 2 cents. Thank you so much for sharing that. Temporary setback is a much better word that we get from Dr. Hill than that nasty word failure. Temporary setback. Thank you. Those are just such great comments. Anita, go ahead.
Mine's just real short. Paul, I wanted to give you an FYI. I've been posting on Craigslist for a while now, and what I have found is I have an old posting, like an old posting, and I tried doing some new ones. I kept getting flagged, so I went back to my old one that I had ran before, and it didn't even have anything to do with what I was doing. But I went ahead and I revamped it and made it like what I'm doing now and like reposted it. Because it had been posted before, they didn't even question it. And so every time I go back to the one that I've reposted and I change it, whatever I want to do to it, I change that one. And then I just repost it. But now I've had several that's been flagged, so I don't try to even use those. And just change an old one, one that's been accepted before, and they don't question it. Anyway, back to you, Paul.
Hey, thank you, Anita, for those tips. Really appreciate that. Mr. Nuclear Young, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone. There's a big saying that I was taught a long time ago with regards to plans, and that is that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And actually, the real term for that should be, if you fail to plan, the universe has plans for you. A lack of a definite plan are plans. They are planned. There is a plan for you. Either the universe has plans for you, which are just scattered energy that is not focused, or you create plans. And plans to me, with regards to this chapter, are a set of blueprints to a builder. If you want your home built, or if you want the car factory to build a car for you, if the factory doesn't know what you want, if they don't know what color interior that you want, or do you want a 4-speed transmission, do you want an automatic transmission, they're going to make the car for you, but it may not be what you want. So they may not be definite in your mind as to what you want. So when you get that vehicle, it's not what you want. Same thing with the plans that we have for a builder. If we want a house built, how many rooms do you want in the house? Where do you want the front door? Do you want a garage? All these plans for a house have to be given to the builder. And the architect creates these blueprints, and we are the architect of our blueprints for our life and for our business here with regards to making money. And so it's important to understand these just simple principles of a builder. I mean, we're builders. That's what we do. We're building teams. We're building our life. We're building, our plans. And we make our plans, and a foreman will take those plans from the architect and create that physical house with what came out of the architect's mind, which really came out of the person that wanted the house to begin with's mind, who told the architect, hey, I want 3 bedrooms. I want my master bedroom on the first floor. I want it to be 40 feet by 25 feet. I want his and hers bathroom. I want my side of the bathroom on the east wing. I want her bathroom on the west wing where the sun, sets. I want a 4-car garage. I want it on this side of the house. All those details for a home have to be portrayed to the architect, which in turn draws the plans up, which in turn gives them to the builder. And so, if we fail to plan our business, if we fail to plan to the minute detail of how we want and what we want in our business and our daily life and how we want it to happen, how we want it to occur, the universe will have them for us, but they will not be focused plans. Your plans are blueprints, and your plans and your blueprints prohibit temporary setback, because now you have the plans. The universe rewards all of us that have definite plans. Back to you, Paul.
Love those thoughts, Todd. Thank you so much. Wow, powerful ideas there. Scattered energy versus focused energy. Just wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, my friend. Mr. Hutchins, how are you doing this morning, sir?
Fantastic, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely magnificent. Wow, is what I can say about everyone on these calls, man. It's just wonderful to hear everyone growing, sharing. You ever notice that you're getting this feedback, and every time you get a feedback when you speak on this line, your confidence just keeps growing. If you've been on these calls for any length of time, a month, a few weeks, you must see that. You cannot miss this. They talk about public speaking as a way to remove your timidity. This call is like a Toastmaster. Even though you're not standing in front of people, you can feel the pull. You can feel the pull, the energy, right through the ether every single morning. It's a social accountability. This is one way to get you going in a way to do the things that you ought to do when you ought to do them. I heard John Maxwell said in a private session one time, he said, when you do the things that you ought to do, when you ought to do them, the day will come when you will do the things that you want to do, when you want to do them. He went on to say that 95% of achieving anything worthwhile, I added worthwhile to it, is knowing what you want and paying the price to get it. Friends, we know that it's about the attitude. The mechanics of this business is so ridiculously simple that it's not even funny. You know that. Your ability to transmute your feeling, your attitude, comes from confidence from within. That's what that is. People will see fear on your face. And if you're confident, when you approach people, what else you see? If the negative is coming back, all you see is they're seeing the mirror bouncing back on them that they don't believe they can do what you're doing. There's a fear in them. It scares the heck out of them. And when you have a dream, all you're doing with another dreamer is lifting that dreamer up and just bringing the light shining so strong that it can lift them into a higher stage, increase their belief. The guy sitting out there when you approaching them, when the mindset is so strong, for a person to say, oh, this business doesn't work, I said, yes, you're right. It won't work for you. Have a nice day. You see, when your principles, your belief are so strong, no one can get in your way. Nobody. It's incredible. They notice. When you're walking down the street with an attitude, people can feel that energy. You got to believe it. You feel the energy. You develop that type of consciousness, and that type of consciousness and that belief will happen on this call. Nobody. I mean, from school age, some little kids coming up to school, nobody wants anything that comes too easy. So why would we even try to go after things that comes too? It's not a contradiction. I mean, nobody wants anything that comes too easy. And the most difficult thing about this business in any shape, form, or form is getting that mindset ready. It's not what to do. The what to do, come on. What's so difficult about showing somebody something that could change their life? It makes no sense. Who wouldn't want their lives to change? Somebody going to work this morning and say, hey, I'm happy. So what would happen if your boss came back and retroactively said, we'll pay you a lot more money, 10 times what we've been paying you because we've been making a mistake? Oh. That's okay. I don't need the money. I mean, who would say that in their right mind? I mean, when you really think about this, folks, you got to laugh at anybody who comes into your face, and you can call them stupid if you want. You can call them dumb, and you don't have to say it. Just feel it in your mind, and that will help boost your energy, your attitude all day. Put a smile inside your heart. And have an attitude. Meet the people where they're at. You know, sometimes somebody come at you, and with their attitude, just have a little fun with it and get that attitude right back at them. Inside, you're going to feel it, and it's going to come out. They're going to like, ooh, what happened to Paul? People are scared. Scared that what's the possibility that they will really get somewhere? That means, wow, I'm going to have to start working at it. Can I really do it? That's what people are saying. That's what they're saying. That's what's going on inside that little mind. I want you guys to have a wonderful day on me and right back to you, Paul. I have an attitude about it every single day. The guy who wins is not necessarily the strongest, but it's the guy who thinks he can win. Right back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Rick Martin. Always love your fire and passion and energy coming through the ether, through the lines here. Appreciate those thoughts. Star 6, who's next?
Hi,
good
Paul.
Morning,
this
guys.
Is Lenny.
Oh, go ahead, dear.
Paul, I am lucky in that I have never experienced failure because failure was never even a word in my vocabulary. I have done many things that have not worked out, but never, ever in my mind did I ever hear the word failure. And even when I hear it now, you know, as we're reading this book, it really literally makes me cringe every time I hear it. Now, other people, you know, may have thought or think that certainly things that I have done were failures, but that word never, ever, ever enters my mind. It didn't work out, move on to the next thing. And I'm just wondering if perhaps we could fashion some affirmation that would really just end that word in our lives, period. That we don't even think of that word. It's not possible. It's not a possibility. So I just want to put that out there. Maybe I haven't thought about it, you know, what kind of an affirmation it would be, but it would seem to me it'd be very simple to come up with something.
Hey, Paul.
Thank you.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, go ahead, Melvin.
Yeah, what she was saying was very important, but what all of us have to realize, it's not the word. The word is not important at all, whatever word you use. It's your attitude about it. It's not the word itself. It's your outlook. It's your feeling about it, whether you call it temporary setback or failure. Whatever name you give it is not what matters. It's how you perceive it. It's your attitude about it. It's your ability to keep on in spite of. That's the part that makes the difference. That's the part that matters. That's the part that will make you end up on top every single time. So that's the thing that we have to master. That's the thing that we have to get over. Back to you, Paul.
Great point, Melvin. Appreciate that. Doc Fran, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, thanks. Good morning. You know, the topic today was mastermind. And a couple things that I reflected on and kind of saw in a new viewpoint or a new unit of time. And Todd spoke to it directly as well. And, you know, we're so blessed that we have this mastermind, this Think and Grow Rich call every morning, which is an assembly of people from many companies all across the country coming together to enlighten one another on understanding these miraculous principles in this book. And then Todd described the perfect situation where a person wants to design and build a home, and it takes a mastermind to accomplish that goal. And in this chapter, Napoleon Hill acts, you know, says that in order to accomplish your goals, you have to have the help of other people. And there's an important message inherent in that, because one of the tendencies that I have observed over the years in our industry in particular is what I like to call the Lone Ranger syndrome. And that's that the idea or the behavior of a person in a company where they think they either want to do everything themselves their way or they have to do everything themselves their way. How many of you have had your partners resist doing three-way calls? And they'll actually say to me, you know, well, I know my people and I know how to talk to them. And I say, well, great. You know, how's your results? If they're getting great results, hey, fine. You can't argue with results. But if it's not working out for a person, maybe that's a fixed idea that is highly detrimental to them. So a mastermind can be a large assembly of people such as we have on this call. It can be two people. And one of the things that I recommend and I love to see happen is when people in a company find someone else, one other person, that they are comfortable with and they can join together and become a mastermind of two and build and help and encourage and support one another in this marvelous path, this marvelous journey to success in our industry. And the last thing from a leadership standpoint is that one of the keys, as you master your basic skill sets of personal development and invitations, recruiting, bringing people into your group, the next evolution growing into leadership is to learn to identify those people within your group who show leadership ability and then pull them together as a subset and mastermind with them on the co-development of your leadership skills. Mastermind is a powerful, powerful part of the entire workable philosophy that is Think and Grow Rich. Back to you, Paul.
Love those thoughts, my friend. And, you know, for all of us listening on the line, just want to remind everyone that we just heard from a man who has built teams of massive, I mean, size that would stagger the imagination. This is valuable information. I really hope we're all paying close attention. Star 6, who's, well, not just to Doc Fran, obviously, but to all of the great stuff that's being shared on the line. Star 6, who's next?
Well, this is Lenny again.
Yes, good morning, Lenny.
With all due respect to Melvin, I really do think that words are very important because words fashion a picture of something in our mind. And I do think that eliminating the word failure from our thoughts and our vocabulary can really be a very positive way to move forward. Also, what I'm wondering, it's lovely to hear about your mastermind group. I don't really have one, you know, that works on an everyday basis. And just wondering if there are people out there that might want to form a mastermind group. And if anybody would like to do that, I'd certainly love to be involved with it. And my number is 843-224-8045. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me jump out here for just a moment here. I think Melvin and Lenny were saying the same thing, just in a different way. Melvin, you know, was pointing out that, you know, if you look at failure as a very negative word, then, yeah, eliminate that word and use another word that, you know, brings more positive ideas and pictures in your mind, like temporary setback. And then, you know, for a lot of people, that works really, really well. So I think you're both saying the same thing. And back to the mastermind principle, I want to draw back out what Dr. Hill is instructing us on the formation of a mastermind. how do you form a mastermind? And this is something that I'm just learning. You know, I didn't know how to do it. I've read this book many times, and every time I would come to the mastermind principle, I would say to myself, gosh, how do I form a mastermind? Who's my mastermind group? You know, who do I connect with? How does this form? Let me share with everyone the number one step, I believe, in network marketing for forming a great mastermind, to start a great mastermind. Remember that Dr. Hill says, before you approach your mastermind team, first you have to identify who you want to mastermind with. And you want to mastermind with someone who is getting results, someone who is having success, someone who is generating income, someone who is making money. That's who you want to mastermind with. Okay, that's step number one. Step number two is decide what you can give in return. What can you offer that person that you're masterminding with? Now, fortunately, in network marketing, if you're on somebody's team, what you can offer that person whose team you're on is your commitment to listen, learn, take action, and apply and be coachable, because if you can do that, then it is worth the time of the person in your up team who is going to invest their knowledge and their skill in you. So my number one recommendation in trying to determine who you should mastermind with is look to your up team, look to your sponsor, look to your mentor, find that person, that mentor in your up team who is closest to you, who is making money and generating results and who has the knowledge and skill that you want, and go to them and say, I want to form a mastermind. I want your knowledge. I want your skill. I want your coaching. And here's what I'm going to give you in return. What I'm going to give you in return, Doc, is I promise you that I will be on the mastermind call every morning. I promise you that I will be on the team call Monday. I promise you that I will write out my major definite purpose and repeat it twice a day. I promise you that I'm going to take the instructions that you give me and I'm going to write them down in a daily action plan and I'm going to do them. I promise you that I will be accountable to you. I will call you every day. I will tell you what I did, just like I did this morning when I forgot to fill out my daily reports to Doc Fran yesterday. So this morning I'm in the gym and I'm running on the treadmill and I'm thinking to myself, oh shoot, I forgot to fill out my daily report. What did I do? I went out in my car, I picked up my cell phone, I called Doc Fran, I said, Doc, I apologize, I forgot to fill out my report. Here's what I did yesterday, Doc. I invited three people personally to look at our company over the phone. I repeated my major definite purpose. I was on the mindset call. I placed three ads on Craigslist. Verbally over the phone, I told them what I did. That is me offering Doc Fran some value in return for his knowledge. So in the formation of the mastermind group, let us not forget the steps that Napoleon is teaching us to do, and I hope that those ideas are helpful to everyone on the line who is wondering, who is my mastermind? Who do I start with? It's that person in your up team who is having results and success, that has the knowledge and skills and is willing to invest their time and effort and knowledge in you, but you got to be able to give something in return, because there's nothing more frustrating than, you know, spending time and investing knowledge and skill and then having somebody call you back 2, 3, 4 times and say, it's just not working. Well, did you do what we talked about on the last coaching call? No. What was that we talked about? That is so frustrating, and that will not work for a mastermind. So just some thoughts in the formation of mastermind. *6 to unmute your line.
Hi, Paul. This is Kat again in Memphis.
Yes. Good morning.
Hi. I have begun a mastermind group with some gals here based on a book, and this is specifically for Lenny. I believe Lenny was the one that was interested in forming a group. There is a book out. It's a very quick read. You could read it in one night, and it's called The Group by Rebecca Carswell, Carswell, and it's all about how to form a mastermind group, and it's wonderful, and it goes through it step by step. It speaks to every aspect. It's
very, very rigorous. So I just wanted to offer that to Lenny and everyone else on the call. Back to you.
Thank you. The group, great suggestion. Have not read that book, but appreciate the recommendation. Star 6, who's next?
Hi, this is Frank from Delaware.
Frank, good morning.
Good morning. Sorry for my voice. It's going out. It seems to be going out a little. So you have to listen to my grating voice this morning. I think what Mr. Napoleon Hill is trying to accomplish here is, first of all, Doc Fran, of course, he's such a sage. In his wisdom, he saw that the point of this was masterminding. It's not about failure, but what Napoleon Hill is trying to accomplish is to help people realize that failure is not something that has to become a wall in our lives. He's trying to take away the power of that word by helping us to realize that, one of the things that I realize is that, funny thing, Paul, I cannot get every person to want this company, and I don't understand why, because it's perfect for me, and I think it's going to be perfect for them, but not everybody says yes, and everybody that doesn't say yes is a failure, but it becomes a stepping stone, because you take away the power of the word. You know that every single no is going to lead to the one person that is going to say, yes, I want to take a look at this. It happened to me yesterday. I made about 25 phone calls, couldn't find the people home, a couple of people weren't interested, a guy cursed me out, and I kept calling until I got the one guy that I was able to get on a three-way with Todd, and that was my success. Those failures that happened earlier just became little stepping stones towards success. So that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to take away the power of that word and help us to realize that each little thing that happens that is a negative is really just a stepping stone. It's not failure. It doesn't become a wall or a building surrounding us. We knock it down to a little stepping stone. Back to you, Paul.
Love it, Frank. Thank you for sharing those thoughts, and thanks for your example, my friend. Appreciate those ideas. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Paul. How are you? James Best.
My friend.
Well, let's see. We heard a lot of people. I heard Suzanne. Let's have Suzanne go clear the lines again here.
Okay, can you hear me?
Suzanne, star 6 to unmute your line one more time, please, if you would.
Paul, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, my friend. Great to hear your
voice.
Good morning.
Great to hear your voice. Such a wealth of wisdom on the call this morning. I hope I got this right, but I think it was Mr. Rick Martin that I heard say something that really triggered my thoughts about failure, and that is, or not even failure, but just our right perception, our right attitude towards the building process and towards the mastermind process, for that matter. And he said something about pay the price. Was that him? Was that Rick Martin? You have to be willing to pay the price. And if we are unrealistic about how the universe works, then a lot of things that we may call failure or call setback, or we may even call it frustration, our inner frustration is going to be in direct proportion to our understanding of the process. And so instead of saying, try to have a different attitude about failure, or I don't let myself think those things about failure, I'm just talking about, hey, can we get real? Can we get real about how life works? Now, envision in your mind a new beautiful child that's learning to walk. Do we put any shame on them because they stumbled and fell in their process of learning to walk? Do they carry around this burden in their ego of, wow, I've tried to walk 9 days in a row, and every day I'm busting my butt, and I'm upset about it because why can't I learn to walk as fast as this other baby, and perhaps I'll never get it. Oh, my goodness, maybe I just wasn't destined for the greatness of walking. And guess what? Babies don't put themselves through this false perception, guilt, shame, blame, this downtrodden attitude that it shouldn't be part of the experience of learning to walk, is that you're going to wobble and you're going to tilt and you're going to stumble and you're even going to scrape your knee and you're even going to cry. And I would like to offer up the thought that it's supposed to hurt.
and it's not supposed to hurt bad, and most of the pain we cause ourselves is in saying, oh, my goodness, I stumbled. Oh, my gosh, that didn't work out according to my expectations. If failure is nothing more than when something didn't work out the way you wanted it to, once you recognize that you cannot, you can't learn to run 10 miles without having sore knees, it's not going to happen. So pay the price, have it set in your mind that rejection is part of our learning, and making mistakes and trying your whole method of trial and error is going to happen. You're going to scrape your knee. People are going to tell you no. You may even have someone betray you, belittle you. You may miss an important appointment. And all of those things are forging you in the fire of greatness. Expect to fall. Expect to stumble. It isn't even... It is the price, but it's also just realistically the principle of how you get to being an efficient walker is you fall a whole lot of times. And if we could just take the emotional and the ego sting out of it and say, I'm a champion, I'm learning to walk, I'm not going to quit, I'm not going to stop, I know I'll be there, because the principles of reality say that if I keep at this long enough, I will get there. So why would I quit, and why would I play mental games with myself and tie my ego and my accomplishment and my sense of self to whether I stumbled while I learned to walk? Back to you, Paul.
Wow. Suzanne, I am so grateful to know you and have you in my life. Thank you for those brilliant, brilliant thoughts. I love how you said, can we just get real about how things work? So true.
Hey, Paul.
Paul.
Star 6. I know there were some other people jumping out there with Suzanne. Who is next?
Hey, Paul.
Melvin, there are a few people trying to get out here with Suzanne. Let's let them go first if we can. Who is that?
Good.
That was Rick, yeah.
Rick, go ahead.
Yes, I'm telling you right now, friends on the line, that it's an indication of how people feel. You see, a lot of people are willing to talk about this because it's an issue. I'm going to tell you right now how to crush this issue. What you call failure is you embrace it. You embrace it and say, you know what? Yeah, I've been failing. I failed 10,000, 100 more times than I have succeeded in life. And that's the only way I will get to where I want to go, is because I like to go through the process of failing. I like to go through the process of groping around, because at the end of that grope, what I want. I know I have to grope my way through it. I know I got to fail my way through it to get to where I'm going. So, yeah, failure, you embrace it because it's part of the process. No pain, no gain. There it goes again. Get over that. Embrace the word failure. You have to embrace it. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace the word failure. It's not going to go away. Trust me on this. Like it. Love it. I've been in business over 2.5 decades. I've been failing my way through life. People see me around and they wonder, man, this guy's got it easy. No. I've been failing my way forward all the time. I don't know any other way. Friends, we know. A woman or a man out there see a guy, or a guy see a woman that comes too easy, they don't want it because there's no talent. Nobody wants anything that comes too easy. If you're courting, you're failing your way through to get the man or woman you want. Friends, embrace the word failure. It's there. It's not going to go away because society gravitates to the negativity. And you use that negativity as a charge. As a charge. And show them. Yeah. That's where the glory is going to come back to you. That's where you're going to have that enjoyment. Love it. That's my attitude. You can embrace that if you like. Right back to you.
Thank you, Rick. Paul? Yes.
I'm sorry.
No,
hi, this
no,
is Lee.
That?
This is Elise from Atlanta.
Yes, hi, Elise.
I I just was sitting here, and Suzanne brought me in, and I just started laughing when she started talking about that. I was sitting here thinking, you know, if we could just get the mindset of a child when they fall down when they're learning to walk. You know what we say to a little child when they fall down? Uh-oh. And that is truly all it is. Get your fanny up and keep on going. And pretty soon you can run to the mailbox, you know? Truly, I am so tickled, and I want to share this with every single person I know. My heart is just overflowing with gratitude that I have found you guys. Truly, I just the message that I'm getting every morning, you know, even if you don't want to build a financial empire or have an easier route later on, my goodness, come and get your heart boosted. I just am so grateful for you guys, truly. Thank you. Back to you.
Thank you, Elise. Love those thoughts. Love your passion. We are so grateful we found you. Thank you for being here. Melvin, go ahead,
morning,
sir.
Paul.
Thanks for waiting.
Can you hear me, Paul?
Yes.
I just wanted to go back to what Susan said. I think she did such an extraordinary job there pointing out some very key things, and that is the fact that there's a price to be paid, and we can talk about these words all we want, but a person who's not willing to really make a commitment, roll up their sleeves, grow through the growing pains, deal with the rejections, all of that is part of paying the price. And that's why the majority of people will never succeed, because they're not willing to pay that price. It takes work. We have to stop being lazy. We have to stop looking for the easy way. We have to look at life for what life really is. And we're fooling ourselves other than that. And I think what's great about this call is it keeps everybody locked in and on track to that's part of it, and not fool ourselves. Getting a mastermind is not an easy thing to do. To find just one or two people that feel the same way you do, that you can work together to make this happen, that's a challenge in itself. That's why being a part of this mastermind and being on this call and keeping your own head straight and staying on the right track is so very important. Back to you, Paul.
Great thoughts, Melvin, and I want to hear from Neville, but first I want to throw out one little quick idea. Suzanne the other day shared with us a really important concept about getting your song right in your head. And if your song is weak and it's not, you know, the volume is low, then other people's songs are going to override your song and drown your song out. When we're thinking about the mastermind principle, we've got to get our song clear. If we don't know what our rhythm is, if we don't know what our beat is, how in the world are we going to be in harmony with other people? So step number one, know what you want. Get clear on it. Get that song. Design your song. Get the plan. And once you have that, what will happen, what I'm noticing is happening, is other people that are in the same frequency, that have the same rhythm, that have the same beat, that have the same energy in that song, you're going to be in harmony and you're going to be matching up and you will be attracted to one another. Neville, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Paul.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes,
I
thought that was
James
Neville.
Seth.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, James.
Yeah, I just quickly wanted to say that we are masters in our own mind. We have to see ourselves. And from you knowing me, every day is a wonderful day, and they get better by the minute. So it's how you see things, how you look at things, how you, when you read something, how do you comprehend it, how do you perceive it. So all of those things are, you know, are in common. But it's like when, you know, we're talking about, like, you know, the Bible and things like that and going to church. A person that is new to church, they are a baby in Christ. So they have to learn different things and have to be guided different ways and things like that. So they're, it's new to them. And in business, the same thing. You're a baby in this business, or you're a beginner in this business. So you're going to have those trials that you have to still learn. You're going to have those things that you have to, you know, redo and do over and relearn, so to say. But when you get it in your mind that, okay, I can master this one thing, or I can master this thing, whether it be a person that's playing sports, they become a master of that thing. If it's a person that, you know, does something else, but we all have to believe it in our minds that, okay, I am a master of what I'm doing, no matter how many times we may get that setback, because it's how you look at it. I am right now, just recently, I've been on crutches for 2 days, and I don't look at that as a setback or a failure. I'm looking at it as going to be a help for some of the things that, you know, maybe that I, you know, need to sit still and do as far as my business, because, like, you know, we've talked on follow-ups and things like that. So that's not going to be my stepping stone. That's going to be my stepping stone, so to say. Excuse me. It's not going to be a failure to me that I can't, get out and move around as much. It's going to have me sit still and do my follow-ups, and more effectively, so to say. So it's how we look at the things that we, you know, endeavor, and as far as, like, things that come, you know, in our lives as consequences or as obstacles or whatever it may be. It's how you look at it. How do I see this? Do I see this cup half empty, or is it on its way to full? My cup is on its way to full. Back to you, Paul.
Awesome thoughts, James. Thank you for those thoughts. What an amazing call. I want to leave you with two quotes from the call that I see here in our WeAreThinkAndGrowRich.com Facebook group. Can we just get real about how things work? You can't run 10 miles without having sore knees. Pay the price. Rejection is part of our learning, Suzanne Tucker. And then Liz Rosado McGrath wrote, before forming your mastermind alliance, decide what advantages and benefits you may offer the individual members of your group in return for your cooperation. Big shift here, she writes. One must recognize their own strengths and talents and how that is necessary for the advancement of the whole. Thank you, everyone, for an amazing call. Let's get out there and make it a great day. Love you. Believe in you. Have faith in you. Take action. Be persistent. Plow through temporary setback. And we'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call.